I want to share some scripture with you this morning out of the New Testament. It's a very familiar portion of the Word of the Lord. Before I read the scripture, though, I want to say that I specifically this morning want to speak to you members of the church. Now, those of you who aren't members, why, you're welcome to listen too, and I think it'll probably be applicable, but I want to particularly speak to the members of the church, and there's a reason for that. Our church a few months ago decided we were going to do something a little different this year. We decided we're going to split up our revival. We finally decided that one solid week is just too much for our people. It just wears them out. I don't know what they'd have done if it had been back whenever we went 2 and 3 weeks at a time every night, and even sometimes longer than that. But it's a change in our times, I guess. And so we've decided this year that we're going to split it up, and we're going to do 2 revivals, one which we originally thought was going to be spring, now it's going to be summer, and then one which we have planned for the fall. July 28th, 29th, and 30th, the last weekend in this month. Our evangelist will be Brother Paul Kofer. That's a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. That's 4 services. And I hope that doesn't tax y'all too much. In October 29th, 30th, and... No, that's not right. 27th, 28th, and 29th, I believe it is. The last weekend, 27th, 28th, and 29th of October, we'll have a second revival meeting. Now, I did not decide this. The church decided it. I strongly recommended it because I felt like that, you know, that maybe we had been having too many conflicts and too many people had too many other things to do. But you, as members of the church, I am asking you this morning to set those dates aside and to make a commitment to be here. I believe that if we invite an evangelist to come in and to help us in a revival meeting, that we have the obligation as a church to be here. We didn't ask him to come and do the revival. We've asked them to come and help us in revival. And to help us means that we are going to be the ones who are going to be primarily doing the work, and he's going to help. He won't bring us revival. I'll guarantee you that. If we have revival, it will come through the church. It will not come through the pastor, does not come through the evangelist, but comes through the church. And we each will have our role and our part. Now, for you who are not members of the church, if you're a child of God, you have some responsibility too. Each and every one of us as a child of God have the responsibility to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Now, having already alienated all of the membership of the church here by my comments, I want to get to my message this morning, and hopefully it will tie back in here so that you can understand where I'm coming from. In the 5th chapter of the book of Luke, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, and 17th verse, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereupon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Now then, we have two services here this morning, so I'll try to get through this. First of all, the scripture that I read to you indicates that there was a man who had an illness, a palsy, according to the word of the Lord, and he needed to be cured of his illness. Now, the Bible says that every single one of us here this morning as a child of God know that there is a serious illness that is more critical than anything that people ever experience and talk about, and that's sin sickness. That's an illness. That's an eternal death. You know, we all talk about people having terminal illnesses, and we usually always think of cancer. That's one of them. But let me tell you something. The eternal illness is sin. And Jesus said, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Every single one of us as a child of God know what the individual who's lost needs in their heart and their life. This man had some friends. I was thinking as I was reading this, I wonder how many of you here had a total stranger, someone you had never seen before in your life, who came up to you and led you to the Lord. I don't imagine I'd probably see many hands here. You know why? Now, why do we think then that we're going to be able to go out here to a total stranger and we're going to be any more successful than people would have been had they come to me? I had two total strangers show up at my house yesterday. And my first thought was whenever they drove up, I thought, well, what are they doing out here? You know, they're out of state. What are they doing here? What business they have coming here, driving in, getting out, making themselves at home? Now, when I was lost, if there had been a total stranger come up to me and begin to talk to me about my lost condition, I imagine I would have probably had about the same attitude as I did yesterday. What business is this of theirs? They don't even know who I am. Let me tell you something. The people that you need to be dealing with is not the stranger out here that you don't know, but the people you know. And that's the people you care about. And the people that you know that need help. And we as a church need to begin to think about the people that we have right here in the Elkton community who have a need in their heart and their life that we know. There are people I do not know in this community. There are a lot of people I don't know, but some of the people that I don't know, you will know. And I may know some that you don't. But I will guarantee you this one thing, though most of us have somebody that we know that doesn't have the Lord in their life. Now the real question comes down to then, are we willing to help those individuals? Are we interested enough in them? Are we concerned enough about them that we'll do something about it? The Bible says that this man who was sick had apparently heard about that Jesus was in the area, and whether he had or not, his friends had heard about it, and they were concerned enough about him, they said, you know what, we're going to do something. we're going to take this friend of ours and we're going to get him to the Lord so he can be cured of the palsy. And they didn't just think about it and just talk about it. They did something about it. We spend a lot of our time talking. We spend a lot of our time thinking. But we don't spend a lot of our time taking care of what needs to be done. We've got too many other things going on. We've got too many other commitments. We've got too many things that we can think of. You know, I used to think every once in a while, and this has been a few years ago now, but whenever the church would decide way back in the spring of the year that they were going to have a revival in the fall, I'd think, man, you know what? This just gives a lot of our members enough time to plan something for that week whenever we tip our hand as to when we're going to have it. And sure enough, it had happened every time. Man, we've got the state fair coming up. We've got to be at the state fair. We've got to go somewhere else. We've got to do something. We're going to take our vacation that week. I don't know whether they'd plan to do it then or not. Let me tell you something. The end of this month and the end of October, I'm expecting to see some of your calendars marked with the days that we're having a revival at Elkton Baptist Church. And we've invited a man to come down here to help us. And what's he going to help us do? Well, we're not only going to sing, we're not only going to pray, he's not only going to preach. And notice I switched right there on you, it wasn't we, he. He's going to preach. But we're going to have the responsibility to be the individuals who get those people to the place where something can be done for them. We need to get them to the foot of the cross so that the Lord Jesus Christ can save their soul. The church can't save them. The preacher can't save them. The evangelist can't save them. And you can't save them, but the Lord can. And he will. On his terms, not ours. These people, these men, they get this man and they take him on his bed. That was a little unconventional. Some of you are going to say, well, we've never had a three-day revival before. Well, no, you probably haven't. I haven't either. But does that mean it's got to be failure because we haven't done it before? Neither does it mean it's going to be successful just because we're going to try something new. It all depends upon what we as his children are willing to commit. That's what we're going to talk about this morning is commitment. These men pick up the bed and they take it and they go up to the house of where the Lord is. There are already all kinds of naysayers there where he's at. There are already those people there who are holier than thou. There are already those goody-goodies there. We may have a few of those. That's all right. Let me tell you something. The Lord's able to take care of all situations. Don't you ever doubt it for a minute. But let's not get too selective and let's not get too picky about who that we want to work with and who we want to help. They bring him up here to the house and there's such a crowd already there that they can't get in. And so they say, you know, this is not going to work. We're not going to be able to get through that crowd of people to the Lord, but we need to get him to the Lord. He needs to be cured of his palsy. I keep wanting to say leprosy. He needs to be cured, and we care enough about him, and we've already started, and we're making an effort, and we're not going to quit right now. So they got a little bit innovative with their thinking, and they said, by golly, we'll just climb up on the roof of the house, and we'll tear the tile off, and we'll let him down through the roof. Now, that took a little more effort on their parts. That took a little more than what they had expected to do whenever they started out. I'm sure, Ronnie, that they expected that they were going to be able to take this bed up here and take it right into that house and the Lord was just going to heal this man of his palsy and he'd be on his way. But it didn't work that way. It didn't work that way. Come up here and help me, buddy. I need some help this morning. Yeah, I knew I'd get him up here. He's all right. Don't worry about him. Yeah, we'll get along fine, won't we? I didn't hear yes. I thought you was going to say yes for me. But you know what? These men were determined they were going to get their friend to the Lord. They knew who had the answer. They knew who had the ability to cure him. They knew they couldn't do it themselves, but they knew who could. I hope that we can understand that there are none of us who have that power within ourselves to do that. Never have and never will. But we do know the one who can cure them of that sin sickness of the soul, and that's the Lord. These old boys, then they take and they let this man down through the roof of the house. And you know what the Bible says? Now I want you to hear this clear and plain. And Jesus, seeing their faith, not the man's faith. I'm always amused at these TV evangelists who are these healing guys. And you know, if they can't get one healed, why, they'd had a lack of faith. That's the reason they didn't get healed. Let me tell you something. They're about as fake as $3 bills, most of them anyway, so you needn't think that it was a lack of their faith, because the Bible very clearly teaches that it doesn't always just take the faith of the individual who's sick. In this case, this old boy didn't have to have faith at all. But his men who brought him there had faith. And the Bible says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, not his faith, their faith. You and I have got to have confidence in the Lord. We've got to have faith to believe that the Lord's still going to save people today just the same as He did whenever that we were lost. And we've got to understand that people still need to be saved just like whenever we were lost. There's still people out here this morning. People in the Elkton community. I get so tired of our Baptists always talking about missions, foreign missions and everything, when we can't even think about home. If you study the Bible very clearly and carefully, you'll understand that whenever the Lord gave the commission and the authority was given unto the church to go out and to begin to preach the gospel, you know where it started? At home. It started at home. He didn't say, go out there and start in Africa or somewhere else. He said, you start right here at home. We, before we need to begin to think about what all we're going to do somewhere else, need to be thinking about what we're going to do here. We, before we begin to worry about what they're doing over there at Wildlow Baptist or Hermitage Baptist, we need to be thinking what we're doing here at Elkton Baptist. That's where our field is. That's where our work is. That's where our responsibility is. That's where our obligation is. That's where we begin. The Bible says that Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man with the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let me tell you something. It is no harder for the Lord to save a person this morning than it was when He saved me all those years ago. 1954, I believe it was. The only reason I remember that is, again, I told you here a couple of weeks ago, I went back and checked out when I was baptized, and I've written it down up on my a little note on my desk so that I can remember. December 12th, 1954. Well, I just got saved whenever that happened, so I know it was been in a few days, weeks before that. And let me tell you something. The Lord didn't have any trouble at all saving me. I had a lot of trouble getting the place to where He could save me. Yeah. But let me tell you, it didn't take Him that long to save me. And I've been saved ever since. Ever since. It is not difficult for the Lord to save a person. It is no different today than it was in that day. But we've tried to change everything, and we want to do things differently. We want to do them real quickly. We don't want to waste a lot of time. We don't want to spend a lot of time. We don't want to have to make the effort. It's just, let's hurry up and get it done. I mean, we've become such a in and out society that, you know, we just want it all happen real quick. Get it over with so we can get on with something else. Sometimes, people, we need to slow down. We need to think about somebody else. And it didn't take three to get that old boy there. There had to have been at least four of them. Dear, if there had just been three and one side of that bed would have flopped a little bit. Yeah. Took them all. At least four. And they said, well, now maybe he didn't have that kind of bed. Well, I don't know what kind of bed he had. It might have just been a pallet. It doesn't say, but it said a bed. But it took them to get him there. And then it took an effort on their part to get him down there before the Lord. And when he was put there before the Lord and the Lord saw their faith, the Bible said, he said to the man with the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, no, he can't do that. You know, he's not the one to do that. He's got the Pharisees there, the holier than thou's that I told you about earlier. They're here. They've got all the answers. They know everything. They're the ones who are living right. I find a lot of times, I've found this over the years in being a preacher, there are a lot of people who know how it ought to be done. And there are a lot of people who know what I need to be doing. But I find out that most of the time when I need them to do something, they disappear. Or their tune changes a little bit. It's altogether different then. I make a lot of mistakes. I have a lot of faults. I fail more times than you can imagine. I was thinking as they were singing the song, One Day at a Time. And that's really all we get. That's all we've got is today. Yesterday, it's gone. And tomorrow may never come. But I've got today. And so these people say, oh, no, man, he who is this that thinks he can forgive men of his sins? Well, I'll tell you who it was. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Son of God, the man who came so that mankind could be forgiven of their sins. And of all people, he was one able to say that. And so he realized what these people were thinking. I've got to hurry. Get ready, guys, because I'm going to switch real quick here on you. He said, which is easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk? But that you might understand that I've got this power, he said to this man, you know, get up from there and go. And old boy, he just got up and walked out of there, took his bed. Guess he took it by himself there. I don't know. It didn't say about whether he took four. But I'll guarantee you one thing. The Bible says if one will put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So God's math doesn't always work the way mine does. So, you know, but however, the important thing that I want you to understand this morning, it takes us doing our part. And God may have a corner of a bed for you to carry. And if he does, I hope you don't let somebody down out here that needs to know him. I'm asking you this morning to look in your own hearts and to search your hearts and see if you're willing to make that commitment unto the Lord and to those that are lost to say, you know, harvest time is here and I want to be a worker.